Good morning. Everybody warm enough? It's Michigan. Boy, what great readings. They're founded on hope. Do you hope? Do you expect to get to heaven? But I get it. You know, really, there's a tension. So today we have really a reflection on really the mysteries of God. You know, but I think it's worthy to reflect on the fact that we exist to riches of the world to really realize how immediately close God is to us. The goal of our lives as Christians, the God's goal, God's desire for all of us, is that we have union with God. Our faith in Christ, who we recognize and proclaim in the revelation of the divine truth through the fruit of our redemption. That is the forgiveness of our sins. Would there be a heaven if he had not risen from the dead? I mean, it all has to fit together. Is love, God, more powerful than death? Absolutely. Is it hard for God? I can't remember. I shouldn't get off track here because we'll be here till 10:15 and the donuts will get stale. What animal was it? And the winter came, and this is in Alaska or northern Antarctic or whatever, and the little thing freezes, and it stops breathing, and it freezes from the inside out. And it stays like that all winter long. Of course, in Alaska or Antarctic Circle, you know, it's probably like 6 months, 7 months a year. And then it's eat, freeze, eat. Now, is that caterpillar dead? Is it raised from the dead in the spring? Well, I don't think so, but it certainly is a mystery, isn't it? That a living being can freeze and then be thawed and just start eating leaves. Nice life if you can. On trust in a maturing life with God through experience. The experience of God's mercy and forgiveness and love. I accentuate, as I have been for several months now, the experience. We've all, if I dare say, graduated from 8th grade catechism or maybe 12 years of Catholic high school. We know the fundamental or basic expressions of Christianity and the Christian truth, but the work of evangelization of which we are in the midst these days, are you experiencing a living relationship with God? There's about 10 homilies here, but I'm going to only try to give three. Maybe our relationship with God is somewhat reflective of the way we're in relationship with others. And if we're distant, or somehow always defended, or always very careful what we say or what we don't say, is our relationship with God the same way? It would be very difficult to experience in a felt way, and I mean something more than just a feeling. I feel cold. It's cold outside. I mean more a perceptive knowing. You're not just throwing warm air to heaven, hoping somebody's there listening. You perceive and you begin to know. There's a movement of the divine within yourself. And in the mystery of that movement, we recognize the power and the incarnate reality. I use that word intentionally. The reality of God's presence in our sinful and wounded world as we face the challenges of this perilous journey, as we live through life in the flesh, longing for our wholeness in the Spirit. Remember, the constancy and the fidelity of God's love is unchanging. I know people can have all kinds of arguments about that, but given the trials and the tragedies of life, faith and trust in the providence of God will only be realized through that living, committed relationship of prayer and attention to the presence of the action of God beginning in yourself. So that as you feel, perceive, knowingly perceive the presence of God in yourself by the power of your prayer, your relationship in the faith community, the movements and virtues of the Christian life in yourself and in your actions, that builds faith. It just can't be prayer cards and devotions. I come to church and I bring an envelope. Beautiful. Please don't stop. More envelopes, please. Experience God in yourself. For those who have eyes to see, God is always present, ever present, and always willing to be found. Now we're going to have the contradiction in these readings, are we not, that for those who are evil, God is made out to be something like a myth or a lie to soothe the pain and the suffering of the oppressed, those in power and control would say. Now, ideally, we would all believe in God, right? Why doesn't everybody believe in God? I take a line from last Sunday's second reading, Paul to the Thessalonians, I think. This is halfway through the sentence. Paul makes it clear that we may be delivered from the perverse and the wicked, for not all have faith. The perverse and the wicked tempt the faith of the believer as the believer sees the arrogant evildoers in their comfort and the prosperity of all that they have. Where is God, we might say? And if God is so good and so loving and faithful and constant, why is the world such a mess? And why does God allow all this suffering? Now, when I say evil, I want to make the distinction. Sorry, folks, we're all sinners. I know that's not a shock. We fall down, we get up. We don't always keep the Ten Commandments. Sometimes we lie or cheat or steal, we're jealous, we're egotistical, we're selfish. Whatever it is, we're sinful. And there's always going to be an element of evil in that. But when these readings from Malachi and Jesus, he's talking about evil on a whole nother level. Those who say, I don't care about God, I am going to get power and control, I'm going to have money, I'm going to have authority over people, and I don't care. There's a whole other level of evil, and I know you know that. You know the wars that are going on in the world, only one or two of them are in the paper, but there's other places. There's tragedies and starvation around the world. I don't know the numbers. I hear the number too often. A million people a day die in the world because of starvation. There's an evil in that. And that's not just the falling down and the getting up of the Christian life, believing that we're going to be forgiven. Not because we're so perfect, but because we're not. And God is perfect. So these readings today obviously are about judgment in the last day. The tone, again, a little unpleasant, a little scary. However, the intention is one of hope, so that we who cling to faith, particularly in uncertain times, not unlike these, but there's been much more difficult times in the world, have there not? Yes, there have. It's not a pleasant time, but there's been worse times. But it's in these kinds of times that we should shine because we believe in God, so that through thick and thin, God remains. Lo, the day is coming, Malachi says, and the day that's coming is the day of the Lord, the last days, when the just and the righteous will be received by God, while the arrogant and the proud and the evildoers, as Malachi says, will be set on fire, leaving them neither root nor branch. They will come to nothingness and will be no more. Kind of an image of hell, isn't it? Let me remind you, hell is not a place any more than heaven is a place. Hell is a state of being, separation in the absence of love, loneliness and selfishness. I'll do it myself. And heaven is being in the beatific vision, being in the state of the fullness of God's presence, so that there's no longer distractions that pull us away from the unitive life that is already ours in God. Why the tension? Why the tension between good and evil, light and darkness, sin and grace? God is the essence of love, and God desires all of us to share the divine union, not just Catholics, and really not just Christians. What about people who grow up in other parts of the world and in other forms of religion who believe in God by some other name, and they believe in love, and they live lives of virtue and goodness? Yes, we're privileged as Christians to name and to know Christ, I believe with all my own faith, my own being, the incarnate God, that God is incarnate, God is active and present in the world. But God wants that union for all of us. Do we not understand? Do you not accept that God's judgment on the world is Jesus Christ? God's judgment is mercy for all who seek and desire it. Weak and wayward sinners will be included in the divine mercy, in their desire and their faith to be with God. Sin will be forgiven. It all falls away because we cling to Christ, as Jesus said in that final verse, by your perseverance. Wholeness does not mean perfection, but that we hold on. We believe to the end, despite ourselves. But not all want God. Not all are willing to surrender to mercy or humbly admit personal weakness in the realization or need for forgiveness. Those lost in the wiles and confusion of evil, in the delusion of their own power, usually through wealth and control or violence or authority over others, which includes lies, deception, chaos, confusion, manipulation, and disruption of human goodness. Beauty, truth, and goodness are also words that describe God. But the truth of God is denied and rejected by the evil. God is lost, and the dignity of human persons is measured only in the ability to control others and to have more. Now, in view of the world, this is pretty heady and appealing state to be, right? State of being. Wouldn't you love to be that guy, person, whoever it was in California that won $1.5 billion? Wouldn't you just love to be that person? You don't seem sure about that. Okay, how about 6.5 million? Okay. How different is that person's life going to be? That kind of, now, of course, they take the taxes out, you probably only have 600 million.
Man, that's not fair.
I don't want that kind of money. We could use a few more, we used some more food for the Thanksgiving baskets and some more gift cards for the turkeys. But who's going to use $1 billion? You get lost in that, don't you? It's easy. There's no reality without love. I've been saying this for, at least 10 years now. Love is truth. God is love. Jesus Christ is God. Love is the essence of being. I know that's existential and philosophical. Think about it. Love is the essence of all being. I don't know why I remember this. I think I learned it in eighth grade geography or whatever it was. I believe it was in World War II. Do you remember? In Britain, a very high percentage of the newborn babies were dying because their mothers were in the war factories creating bombs and airplanes. Do you remember that? Yeah, we can't exist without love. We cannot. Look at the mental health challenge the youth are having, and seniors, and many. Because love is disrupted by disunion, division, and separation, all kinds of other social ills. Love is the essence of our being. And those who reject and refuse love for the self of self-made authority, worldly wealth, and power will come to nothing. No thing without reality or being. I guess that's another definition of hell. God will claim all who seek him. Weakness and failure will be healed. The lost will be found, and the wayward will be welcomed home. God will claim all who seek him, saint and sinner alike. But those who look truth in the face and call it a lie refuse the gift that God offers. You'll find this in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's in all three of them. The account where the Pharisees say, he drives out Satan by the power of Beelzebul, by the power of Satan. And basically Jesus says, okay, watch it, boys and girls. You're looking truth in the face, and you're calling it a lie. We call that blasphemy. And we say that blasphemy is the only unforgivable sin. Why? Is there anything God can't forgive? No, there is not. It cannot be forgiven because the blasphemer will not allow it to be forgiven, because they deny and betray the truth of God by looking Jesus in the face and saying, no, you don't have that power. I don't know how you're doing it, but it's not God, because you're not of God, because you don't keep the law. I'll let God untie all those knots. But for ourselves, we have Christ. All who are willing, sinful and yet repentant, will find and see the face of God in heaven. So why are Christians hated and persecuted? Because we have power. People who live with love have power. And as Christians, in the name and the person of Christ, we have the power of God, which is the power of love, and it's a power the world does not have, does not understand, cannot change, manipulate, or control. And boy, that makes them mad. Jesus was killed because he exposed the injustice and the evil ways of the human heart in those who oppress others and wantonly denying the dignity of other people. John the Baptist was martyred, was beheaded, because he exposed the adultery of Herod, who took his brother's wife, etc. Can God forgive that? Yeah, maybe we'll see Herod in heaven. You know, maybe he would have repented and said, "My God, what was I thinking?" But you see, Christians who speak and reveal the truth of God, even in the world today, especially in the world today, are increasingly being persecuted, because they're exposing the shame and the guilt of those whose sin are being exposed, including our own. We're not better than anybody. But if we'd realize the power that we have in Christ and in the power of the Spirit, and if we use this, just this much more, the power we have, believing in the truth and the goodness and the beauty of love, wow, would the world be different? But the world's always going to have the perverted and the evil, and those who are only going to live by all they can grab. So where's the hope? What's the main thing? Can I hear that again?
Jesus.
There's the hope. In Jesus, who bore the weight of our sin and our weakness. He took it to that wretched, beautiful cross. He died to defeat evil for those who will accept it and to forgive our sin, because we can't do it ourselves, so that we can know the joy and the peace and the glory of heaven because God wants it. Can we thwart God's will? No, we can. Can we try? Stupidly, we probably can. And we're doing a pretty good job of that some days, are we not? Jesus is our hope. He is the truth, the way, and the life. He himself said that. So in the gospel, as we're told about the temple being destroyed, historically it was destroyed. Now one stone on another. Historically, that's true. And people were stunned because it was a huge temple. It took 46 years to build, because these are huge blocks of carved stone. I don't know how they did that, you know, architecturally and lifting all that stuff, but they're built that way intentionally. So you look at this massive building and say, yeah, this is the house of God. This is never going anywhere. And that's why the Jews were so, like, lost. Like, the temple's gone. It's like, well, God can't be with us because, well, the temple was destroyed. The temple was stone. Jesus is revealing a spiritual realm, a spiritual reality. Now he is the living temple. And we who believe in him, we who accept baptism, we who, to the best of our ability, keep the virtues and the movements of the Christian gospel, we ourselves are temples of the Holy Spirit. You have to believe that as you become aware of Christ in yourself through your faith and prayer, so you can be an active and a presence of Christ in the world. So easy to complain because we have so much. Probably not a good time to say that, right? With the price of food and the price of gas and all that. Wow, go to any other country in the world. Go spend a couple of months in Africa. Go to Belize. Oh, I know. Go to Haiti. There's some tough places in the world. But as Christians, we're invited to share and to realize the dignity of all in the justice and the light of God's truth. You are a temple and an image of God for all to see the light of your goodness. And that simple light of God's goodness in you might inspire another to their own goodness. And Christ then becomes a brighter light in the world. You have power, and the power you have is Jesus. And if we spend all our time staring at our sins, we stay small. We admit our sins. They distract us. They don't hurt God. They're hurting us. They're hurting human society and ourselves and our relationships. But if we can admit those sins and give them to Jesus and allow Jesus to open our minds and heal our hearts, maybe we can move away from some of those sins and feel the hope and the promise and the life of heaven in a real way. I don't think about heaven too much day to day. I don't think about my death too much day to day, although I have my days. Don't you? At least this time of year, we should think of heaven. And I see people who've lost loved ones this year going, oh yeah. The day of the Lord is coming. But be aware, the day of the Lord is every day. It's not a calendar day, it's today. And the day of the Lord gives us the opportunity to make God present in the world by living the love that we profess as we make our way to heaven. Our hope is the promise of heaven, and Jesus is the way. My friends, be at peace. All these things have happened in the world before, and we've survived. But this is not our ultimate home. We're only visiting. We're on vacation. We're going to heaven. Jesus made the way. Thank you, God. Be at peace.